The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hello and welcome back to the Sports Ethos, Atlanta Hawks team coverage podcast, formerly known as Hoop Ball Hawks. We cover everything regarding the Atlanta Hawks. I'm your host, Brad Harden, recording live here from Atlanta, Georgia, recording this on Monday, February 6th. Hope you have a great start of your week. I wanted to put a disclaimer out. I will be out of town on business, so I won't be able to record after this episode until Friday when I get back home, which will be after the Suns game, after this Pelicans game on Tuesday, and trade deadline, if the Hawks do make a move. And as a reminder, the names out there are Bogey, John Collins, and Justin Holiday on the trading block for the Atlanta Hawks. So obviously we will be in tune with what's going on, but no reactions to the two games or the trade deadline until Friday when I come back into town. So this is going to be a recap the back-to-back episode. Talk through if there's any new rumors out there. As far as the Hawks and trade deadline goes, and the trade deadline started with a bang yesterday as Kyrie Irving was, who recently asked out of Brooklyn after giving an extension that in Kyrie's eyes was disappointing and unacceptable. It was an extension, but it had a bunch of stipulations attached to it. And Kyrie Irving was not going for that, so he elected to, you know, get a trade. And there's a lot of people bagging on Kyrie. Yes, he's done some things to cause attention to the franchise and himself outside of the game of basketball. But he's been balling this year. He showed up to work, and he obviously wanted to try to get an extension in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn gave it to him, but they were still reluctant to give it to him, which is why they attached a bunch of stipulations to the contract, and he asked to be out. So the Nets organization, their owner, their goal was to trade Kyrie, but not to the Lakers, and they got their wish. As Kyrie Irving is now a Dallas Maverick, sending him along with a Morris brother to Dallas in exchange for Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, and a couple of future picks. So, in hindsight, does that affect the Hawks? No, but it affects trade deadline. My sources continue to tell me that this trade deadline really hinges on the Toronto Raptors, if they're sellers or not. And Fred VanVleet has been thrown out there, and OG Anunoby, and the Raptors are fielding calls. They're kind of a tweener team. They have their nucleus that's been around for a while that can be a play-in team, but do they want to blow it up? And I think they're closer to blowing it up than keeping it together at this point. And I think they are the team. This Kyrie trade was an isolated incident. It was a cause and effect situation. But this entire trade deadline, the cause and effect, the cause will be if Toronto is really sellers in the market, for what I'm hearing. So that is going to really jumpstart things. As of right now, the same rumors continue to commence. You know, the Hawks fielding calls, this young front office, which this road trip was really going to see if it was going to cause for a strong need to make a trade. And from what I heard, is if they went below 2-3 on this trip, that it would force them to make a trade. And that has not happened. That has not happened. They've actually gone 2-2 on this trip. They split the weekend series against the Jazz in Denver, which was a back-to-back, both games in high altitude, both games, you know, subsequent days apart. So it was going to be tough sledding to go 2-0 against two teams that have really strong home court advantages. And the Hawks took care of business against Utah. They split that season series and split the season series with the Nuggets as well as the Nuggets. And the game was a lot closer than the final score indicated, especially not having Trae Young, who was out with an illness that game. There are no moral victories, but I was pleased with the effort in both games. And even though one yielded a win and the other yielded a loss, I liked what I saw in those two games out there out west in the mountains, Salt Lake City and Denver, for the Atlanta Hawks. So I'm really excited to see them take on a Pelicans team on Tuesday who were struggling. They lost 10 in a row, and now they've put two wins in a row down in New Orleans. They feel a little bit better. Still a lot of injuries on that team, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But the fact that it's now 2-2 on a road trip going into New Orleans feels like the Hawks have something here. They like what they've been seeing, and if there's a move, if there's a great move out there to make the team better, then they'll make it. But from what I'm hearing, the objective is to stay under the luxury tax mark. That is the entire aim of this trade deadline, with the Hawks being active in discussions and trade so far. With the latest rumors as of yesterday being that the Hawks are eyeing a particular target right now. According to Mark Stein in an article written just a few days ago, it's reported that the Hawks have joined the Kings as suitors for Sixers guard Matisse Thybul. And as of right now, sources tell Mark Stein that there's a significant chance that Thybul will be moved by the deadline. So that's a very interesting target in Thybul, who I like, especially what he can do defensively. Defensively, he is an absolute menace. And his calling card is perimeter defense, which is something that people think the Hawks have struggled. They've actually done fairly well guarding the three-point line this year. Outside of a few games, and there's some outliers where people have hit a lot of threes against the Hawks. And that's just a product of bad defense in general for the Atlanta Hawks. But the three ball is something that they've guarded fairly well, but anything to bolster their defense is a win. It's a win, in my opinion. So Thybul makes sense, which I'm thinking if Matisse Thybul is someone the Hawks are interested in, I think that spells bogey and probably Holiday being traded. Because when you look at Thybul's contract, 4 years, $12.5 million contract. He doesn't command a ton of money, which would be great for the Atlanta Hawks. Because as of right now, when you look at Spoltrack, he is a restricted free agent this summer. And looking at the breakdown for Thybul, he is set to make, he is making this year $4.3 million. And I'm sure that it's probably backloaded. He may get a little bit more. And my computer's running a little bit slow, so can't really see what the number is. But a fairly cost-effective player that the Hawks are interested in. And so next year, qualifying offer, they're saying $6.2 million. $6.2 million there. So, not a terrible contract. And obviously, it's less than Bogey. So, that's why I'm thinking maybe they take Justin Holiday. I mean, he's an unrestricted free agent this summer. He commands $6.2 million this year. And for the minutes he plays, it's not a great contract. But he's an unrestricted free agent this summer. So moving off of him is a priority. It's definitely a priority, especially if you can get a player who is better defensively and just does a little bit more than Justin Holiday to warrant you putting him in the rotation. Because right now, Justin Holiday is not in the rotation. He got his first minutes in Phoenix in like weeks. So it's been some time that he's played. So, and then when you look at the trade calculator, which I'm playing with right now, and you put a Justin Holiday and Thybul trade, if Philly were to trade Montrezl Harrell and Matisse Thybul for Justin Holiday, contractually that works. But are they willing to get rid of Montrezl Harrell? That is the question. And right now, when you look at Montrezl Harrell this season, he's averaging, I think, the fewest amount of minutes in his career. He is not playing nearly as much as he has in previous stops. Yeah, this year he's averaging 12.8 minutes a game. Just 5 points, just under 3 rebounds. Not really getting real tick for the Philadelphia 76ers. And adding some front court depth would be beneficial for the Hawks if this is a viable trade for the 76ers. Especially if they're just wanting to stay under the luxury tax and just get rid of contracts. And like I said, Thybul is a restricted free agent this summer. You can make a decision there. And then looking at Montrezl Harrell, if you were to take him, like I said, he temporarily adds front court depth. And as far as the money he is making, he is currently on a 2-year, $5.5 million contract. Next year, he's only set to make $2.7 million. And then in 2024, he's an unrestricted free agent. So you just have him for 1 year. So, interesting conversation. Very interesting conversation, especially if the Hawks do decide to go that route. That is, without involving picks, Justin Holiday for Thybul and Harrell makes contractual sense. Does it make sense for Philadelphia? I don't know. I don't have a correspondent that I have a relationship with for Philadelphia to bounce this around to see if it makes sense. But for the Hawks, it definitely does. I mean, you're getting rid of one player for two. You're adding some depth, even though we know how Naaman Millen likes to use the rotations. And maybe adding a Thybul. Well, one, it would put Thybul in that spot where Justin Holiday was as far as getting minutes. And I think if you make this move, you still have to figure out a move for Bogey. Because right now, it just seems like there's nothing concrete coming from John Collins as far as in a trade. So you're really probably thinking that Bogey is the likely candidate that's moved outside of Justin Holiday. And looking at the at the contract for Philadelphia 76ers. I don't think that, unless they just want three-point shooting and spacing, they would have to make some hard decisions in Philadelphia in order to get a player like Bogey. And apparently around the league, there's quite a few teams calling about Bogey and his services, especially some playoff contenders who need some scoring. But this is what this time is for. There's a lot of speculations and so forth, so it will be ironed out in the next few days as the trade deadline is Thursday afternoon ahead of the contest at home against the Phoenix Suns. As of 2 days ago, the Vanderbilt and Beasley package is still being dangled in front of the Hawks, which I imagine John Collins would be moved in that trade, or Bogey, depending on who they want. There's rumors the Lakers have interest in Bogey, which, I mean, who would you move from there? So, I mean, the Mavericks have some interest in Bogey, allegedly. There's a lot of just rumors as far as interest. Yeah, because I know a few days ago they said half the league was calling about Bogey, who, obviously, 30-year-old, has a player option for $18 million next year, so most teams will understandably view him as a short-term rental with hopes of him re-signing. As of 4 days ago, they said the Hawks aren't showing much interest in moving him. But I know behind closed doors, he is being offered and on the trading blocks. So we'll see what materializes there. But that's all the trade deadline rumors that I have at this point. We're going to take a quick break, then recap quickly the back-to-back and look ahead at the two games this week before, obviously, the next time we are together and I'm recording for Sports Ethos Atlanta Hawks. So first, this quick plug. Okay, listeners, it's time to talk a little fantasy hoops. Now, I don't know about you. I'm in several fantasy leagues, and every fantasy league that you are in, you have a rival. Pokemon, Ash Ketchum had Gary, and I know you have your Gary out there. So it's time to beat Gary and get the insight that you need to take your stuff to the next level and win a fantasy basketball championship. Do you remember who led you to Tyrese Halliburton, DeJounte Murray, Terry Rozier, and Mikal Bridges before any other rank list? I know which one. It's the Brewskis 150. And you probably turn those huge wins into some cash or a fantasy basketball championship. This year, the Brewski 150 is on sale for a limited time. And Ethos 360 subscribers can get access in less than a week. Head to sportsethos.com and click on the premium tab to grab membership information or the draft guide today. And yes, to answer your most important question, the Brewski 150 is included in both options. Check back daily for more new features and go dominate your leagues, beat Gary with the help of Sports Ethos. All right, and we are back. Right now, your Atlanta Hawks, after splitting over the weekend, are still eighth in the East. They're a full game in front of the Chicago Bulls at 9. They are two games in front of the Wizards at 10. They're a game and a half behind the Knicks, who won yesterday, so pushed them a little bit forward. And they are two games behind the Miami Heat, who have lost two in a row. So they're right there as far as battling and vying for that sixth seed. Just need to string together a couple of wins. And 2-2 on a West Coast road trip is good. It is a good trip. I would teeter on saying a success, especially when you have two of those games, those two losses, Trae Young didn't play. So that's a win in my book. The two losses that they had were a Trailblazers team that played out of their mind offensively. The Hawks played out of their mind offensively, just didn't get enough stops down the stretch. And they battled and battled against the Nuggets, made it close. It was within 8 to 13 point deficit for a long stretch. The Hawks would make strides, and then the Nuggets, being the number one team in the West, would respond and obviously dispel that. And that's a good team, and it's the second out of a back-to-back, high altitude. They definitely ran out of gas towards the end of the game. But, and there's no more were victories, but you got to tip your cap to the Atlanta Hawks with how they played. And like I said, before the next time I record, they're going to take on the Pelicans on Tuesday in New Orleans, and then take on the Suns Thursday here in Atlanta when they return home finally. Which, they took care of the Suns in Phoenix, embarrassed them on national television. There's a chance that Booker will be back, and I expect a highly motivated Phoenix Suns team on Thursday night. Definitely not the Phoenix Suns team we saw the other week. So any fans who are naive to the fact that we're going to blow them out at home, they're going to have another thing coming. I guarantee you the Hawks are expecting a completely different team and a different effort that night. Chris Paul didn't have a great game. I'm sure he's going to answer the call that game. Miles Bridges had a good game, but outside of that, not a lot of help from the Suns in that blowout win for the Hawks on last Wednesday. So I expect a different Suns team. This is the different Pelicans team that we played earlier this year. It took overtime last time here in the State Farm Arena to best the New Orleans Pelicans, 124-121. Hawks were 6-3 at that time when they beat the Pelicans. So that was a good game. Trae Young, an inefficient 34 points, but it's still 34 points, and got himself to the free throw line 15 times, which was a huge help. 10 assists that game as well. Murray had 22 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, his first triple-double as an Atlanta Hawk. He also had 3 steals. Capella had 21 points, 19 rebounds that game. DeAndre Hunter with 15 points, 6 rebounds. John Collins only 7 points, 5 rebounds with 2 blocks. 11 off the bench for Jalen Johnson that game. Aaron Holiday gave you 5. Justin Holiday, when he was playing regularly, gave you 5 points. And Okongwu gave you 4 off of the bench. And like I said, that was a different Pelicans team. They had Zion Williamson healthy that game. He will be out on Tuesday. They had Brandon Ingram healthy that game. He's healthy now, but still, he did not play the other night, last night. So I expect him to probably play on Tuesday. You know, a healthy Valanciunas, a healthy McCollum, Herb Jones. So this is probably the healthiest that Pelicans team was the whole season. And now you're getting a Pelicans team on Tuesday that has Valanciunas day-to-day, Brandon Ingram day-to-day. I expect probably those two play. Dyson Daniels is out, and I said Zion Williamson's out. So not a healthy Pelicans team who was struggling and were one of the worst offensive teams in the last 10 games in the midst of their losing streak. But you get B.I. back. They're starting to gain some more confidence, and they've won 2 games in a row. You're playing at their place. Who knows? I think this is still a game the Hawks should be able to win. We're going to have to worry about B.I. He's going to have to do it all. C.J. McCollum is no slouch, obviously. They have still one of the better defenses in the NBA with a lot of length. With Herb Jones healthy, you have Trey Murphy healthy. So, still a really good team in New Orleans. Obviously, you know, GTA, Alvarado off the bench. But this is a winnable game for the Hawks. You go into New Orleans, you beat them, finish this West Coast road trip 3-2, and look out. Look out. Like I said, right now, after the 10-game losing streak, the offense has regressed for the Pelicans. They were a top 10 offensive rated team and defensive rated team. They're 14th in offensive rating, 7th in defensive rating. They're 9th in net rating right now, 10th in points per game scored, 15th in opponents' points per game. They are a team that turns the ball over a lot, so defense is going to be a key for the Atlanta Hawks. But they do steal the ball a lot, so that speaks to their defense. They're a solid rebounding team. They move the ball around fairly well. They're 9th in assists per game in the NBA. They do get to the free throw line quite a bit. They are middle of the road in free throw percentage. They're not the best three-point shooting team. They do like to get into the paint and score, so rim protection is going to be vital for the Atlanta Hawks. And they're a team that gives up a lot of three-point attempts, but they're second in the NBA in opponents' three-point shooting. They are a team that doesn't give up a lot of offensive rebounds. They do really well there. So it's going to be a battle of the post. Post players have to be ready. Forwards have to be ready. We're calling, obviously, Okongwu, Capella, John Collins. I would love to see a really good game from him. DeAndre Hunter, AJ Griffin, Jalen Johnson. It's going to be on them. I think our guards are our guards, and they have an advantage. It's certainly going to be interesting to see who they put on Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. They like to put Trey Murphy at 2 or 3. So that's going to be interesting to see. Herb Jones, long, has length. So it's going to be key to move the ball if you're the Atlanta Hawks to give your guards some clean looks. And your front court players are going to have to really battle this game. They were in a battle in Denver against Jokic, who obviously is one of the MVP's candidates this year and obviously a back-to-back MVP winner. And I thought they fared fairly well. They won the points in the paint in Denver. They only lost the rebounding margin by 5. You know, they got 7 blocks, so they competed. They competed. It was a game that in Denver where Denver shot just under 51% from the floor. Hawks shot 48% from the floor. Not bad. The difference was three-pointers, in my opinion. Denver made 15 threes, shot just under 40%. Hawks only made 6 on Saturday night. Good for 30%, 6 of 20 from 3. They did move the ball around fairly well, 26 team assists, but the Nuggets are a team, they're a high passing team, high assist team, and they held true to that on Saturday, 32 team assists for them, 14 steals for the Nuggets. That was the difference there. 16 turnovers for the Hawks, 18 points off of those turnovers credited to the Denver Nuggets, and the Denver Nuggets also had 19 fast break points. So we gave them some fairly easy opportunities, and when you're going against the best team in the West and you're without Trae Young, you just can't do that. DeJounte Murray did do all that he could. 28 points from him, 10 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He was 10 of 21 from the floor, 3 of 8 from 3. Capella had a double-double, 12 points, 11 rebounds, 20 points from DeAndre Hunter, who really got it going in the second half. He added 4 assists, 3 rebounds, and a steal. AJ Griffin got the start with Trae Young out, had 15 points in his start. He was 6 of 11 from the floor, 1 of 3 from 3. He added 4 assists, 2 rebounds. John Collins, you got to get more from John Collins. You only gave him 5 field goal attempts. That's on the team. 6 points from him, 3 assists, 4 rebounds, and a block. Off the bench, Jalen Johnson gave you 11 points, 5 rebounds. He had a really good 16-minute stretch in that game. Okongwu gave you 6 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 blocks. Another solid game. He's been playing very well. A lot of people have been saying he should start over Capella. I disagree. I like having them both. A lot of people have been really wanting to push Capella out the door, but his value as a rim protector and his size compared to Okongwu at this point, you're going to need both of them. So I will quickly dispel that. Bogey gives you 8 points off the bench, 40% from the floor, but 0 of 2 from 3. Did add One block, three steals, three assists, and five rebounds. Worst plus minus on the team. You see why Bogey is getting shopped. He has not played great in the last 10 games, in my opinion. Big thing for the Nuggets, 41 points for Murray. Their Murray went off 15 to 24 from the floor, 7 to 12 from three, made all four of his free throws, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 1 steal. Jokic had a triple-double, 14 points, 10 assists, 18 rebounds, and 2 blocks. 23 for Michael Porter Jr., knocked down 3 threes, had 3 steals. Aaron Gordon gave them 15 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Christian Braun off the bench gave him 10. Bruce Brown off the bench gave him 8. And everybody who touched the floor outside of one player for the Nuggets scored. So just team basketball, and you kind of ran out of gas. The big killer was that 35-point second quarter. They had 35 in the first quarter as well, the Denver Nuggets, but the Hawks had 30. 35 points in the second quarter, but the Hawks only scored 22 points. So ran out of gas, got some rest, outscored them in the third quarter, 34-27 in favor of the Hawks. But the fourth quarter, the legs left them again, 22 points again, and 31 points to end the game for the Nuggets. And they went on a little run to make the lead look a little bit worse than the game actually was. The Hawks competed, and you got to tip your cap to them. It was on a second out of a back-to-back, and the night prior, they beat the Jazz, so they split the season series there. Trae Young did play. It was the game after his All-Star snub. Did start off hot, 17 points in the first half. Ended with 27 points. Had 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and 2 steals. DeAndre Hunter was the hero of the game. Hit the game-clinching 3 in the final moments to kind of ice the game. 26 points, 10 of 15 from the floor, 3 of 5 from 3. Added 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. I love when DeAndre Hunter is attacking and aggressive. Those games bode well for the Atlanta Hawks. They bode well for the Hawks. And we got another one from DeAndre Hunter. So I love when he's confident in attacking the rim and getting to his spot, shooting the mid-range, and picking moments when to shoot threes without just relegating him to catch and shoot. He's in a full rhythm and control of his game, and we saw that. And we needed that with Murray struggling from the floor. 13 points on 5 of 16 shooting from Murray. 1 of 6 from 3 that game. 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, only 2 turnovers. Big win right there. 4 turnovers combined from Trae Young and DeJounte Murray that game. So really nice game, taking care of the ball. Only 9 turnovers as a team for the Hawks, so that's a win in my book. Capella, 9 points, 13 rebounds from him. John Collins, another game where he struggled offensively, 3 of 10 from the floor, 1 of 7 from 3. 10 points, 4 rebounds, 1 steal on a block. Off the bench, Okongwu with an excellent game for Okongwu. Plus 4, one of the higher plus minuses on the team. 15 points, 11 rebounds, so a double-double. Also had 2 assists. AJ Griffin with 5 points off the bench. 8 points off the bench for Bogey. Did have 6 assists and 6 rebounds and a block. So a really solid game, even though the shot, he was 3 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 6 from 3. Wasn't hitting a lot of his 2-pointers, but did other things to make himself needed on the court for the Atlanta Hawks. They were a team that had 52 team rebounds. They out-rebounded the Jazz. They had 28 team assists, which is a win in my book. They did get 8 steals and 5 blocks. Had 14 offensive rebounds. They out-rebounded the Jazz on the glass. They shot 46% from the floor, 27% from 3. Neither team shot great. I thought both teams had some drive spells, but I thought the Hawks did defend really well. Even though the Jazz did have 3 20-point scores, Markkanen had, the All-Star, had 25 points, 10 rebounds, but 8 of 19 from the floor, 3 of 11 from 3. That's a win in my book. 6 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists for Kelly Olynyk. 2 of 9 from the floor, that's a win. Conley had a really good game. Did have 5 turnovers, though. 20 points from him, 8 assists, 2 rebounds. Jordan Clarkson, 24 points on 21 shots. We'll take that. Off the bench, Colin Sexton gave him 12 points. Obagi, the rookie from Kansas, gave him 11. But all in all, the Hawks played great team basketball, moving the ball around, sharing the ball, team defense to really, you know, I'm not going to say it was a rock fight, but it was a grind. It was a grind. Either team shot great from the floor. The rebounding margin was close. The Hawks really moved the ball well. And I think that was the difference in the game. 28 assists for the Hawks to 20 for the Jazz. You had 8 steals on the defensive end. They forced 15 turnovers on the Jazz. It led to 13 points for the Hawks. And they won points in the paint by 10. So great, great win in Utah. Especially to follow up that performance against the Suns. So I'm going to say they stringed together 4 solid performances on this West Coast road trip leading into the game Tuesday night in New Orleans. And I gave the keys there. They have to be ready for a very motivated Suns team on Thursday. And obviously the trade deadline will be in full swing. So the Hawks get to play Tuesday night, have a probably travel day, but a full work day on Wednesday for trade deadline discussion and fielding calls and so forth. So we'll be really listening there to see what materializes from that full work day leading to the trade deadline Tuesday, which ends, I want to say, 4 p.m. Eastern time, maybe 5 p.m. Late in the afternoon on Thursday afternoon before they take on the Suns that night. So a real comprehensive podcast here. Want to give you enough content to chew on and recap and look forward to. But by the time I come back from my business trip, and we'll see if there's moves made. We'll see how these Hawks fare these next 2 games. I'm not going to say I'm expecting a win. I'm hoping to see a win in New Orleans. We'll see how they fare against a Suns team who have now won 2 in a row since getting blown out by the Hawks. And the Suns are 8-2 in the last 10 games. So definitely playing some really good basketball outside of that performance against the Hawks on Wednesday. So they're going to be highly motivated, as I said before. But you know the drill. That's all for today. So if you love what you heard from me today, give us 5 stars. Give us a good review. Share it with somebody, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, whether they like the Hawks or not. But definitely share it with Hawks fans, NBA fans, Georgia sports fans, basketball fans in general. Put them onto our Twitter at SportsEthos. Atlanta Hawks, that's at Ethos Hawks on Twitter. At Ethos Hawks on Twitter. And then follow myself on Twitter at Brad Jarrett67. That is Brad Jarrett67. We'll catch you guys on Friday. Busy week for the Hawks. I'm not going to say tense week, but opportunistic week for the Atlanta Hawks. So you guys have a wonderful week. We're going to be laser focused while I'm on my little trip on what's going on with the Hawks so that we can give you a great show on Friday when I come back. Stay tuned to our Twitter and my Twitter. I will be tweeting and retweeting things that may occur. And I will be watching the game, so I will be trying to live tweet during those games. So we'll catch you guys next time. And as always, let's go Hawks.